The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is John Ivey for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Sports Illustrated for Kids. For the next half hour, I'll be reading to you from the July-August issue of Sports Illustrated for Kids. We're going to go to page 8 and finish off Who's Who in Sports, third line. Justin Jefferson, Minnesota Vikings wide receiver. His height is 6'1". His weight is 202 pounds. He was born June 16, 1999, and his hometown is St. Rose, Louisiana. As a rookie in 2020, Jefferson had 1,400 receiving yards, the most ever by a first-year player. He hauled in 88 passes and scored 7 touchdowns, becoming just one of 2 rookies named to the Pro Bowl. In 2019, he led the nation in receptions, 111 as a junior at LSU. The Vikings selected him with the 22nd pick. Next, we have Hideki Matsuyama, PGA Tour professional. His height is 5'11". His weight is 198 pounds. He was born February 25, 1992, in his hometown, Aimi, Japan. At the Masters in April, Matsuyama became the first golfer from Japan to win one of the sport's 4 majors. He led by 4 strokes heading into the final round and held off Will Zalatoris to win by 1 shot. As of May, Matsuyama was ranked number 14 in the world. Did you know? The first player from Asia to win one of golf's 4 majors was Yang Young Yoon, who won the 2019 PGA Championship by overtaking Tiger Woods in the final round. And finally, we have Cole Caulfield, Montreal Canadiens right wing. His height is 5'7". His weight is 162 pounds. He was born January 2nd, 2001. Hometown, Mussini, Wisconsin. Drafted 15th by the Canadiens in 2019, Caulfield then played 2 collegiate seasons for Wisconsin. He won the Hobey Baker Award as the top college player in 2021. Caulfield then signed with Montreal and made his debut on April 26th. He scored overtime goals in 2 of his first 5 games. Only 3 players had more than 2 all season. Did you know? The Hobey Baker Award is named for a former Princeton hockey player and a World War I hero. Continuing with Olympic preview, first last chance, karate. Stop trying to impress everyone by calling yourself a longtime Olympic karate fan. The sport is making its debut at these games, and sadly, it's not on the slate for Paris 2024. Athletes will compete in 2 forms. Kumite, a sparring event, and kata, a solo form. The United States' best hope to medal is Sakura Kokumai, who will compete in kata. She was actually living in Tokyo when her sports inclusion was announced. She quit her job and moved in with a host family in California to start training by herself. She took the train to meet with strength coach in San Diego, sometimes sleeping on the gym floor. In a sport not flush with sponsorship dollars, Kokumai has sacrificed plenty for what may be her only shot at Olympic glory. Volleyball. Soccer's World Cup always features its fair share of impact players who play for a country other than where they were born. But it's hard to imagine, for example, Cristiano Ronaldo playing for a team other than his native Portugal. That's why it's so intriguing that the Cristiano Ronaldo of volleyball, Wilfredo Leon, will represent Poland despite being born in Cuba. Leon left his birth nation in 2013 and became a Polish citizen in 2015. Leon and his new team lost to defending Olympic champs Brazil at the 2019 World Cup also in Japan. Brazil and China, the reigning women's winner from Rio, are favored to repeat. Leon will give Poland a chance at its first medal in the sport since it won gold in 1976. Surfing. There will be plenty of top United States surfers to support in these games, including John Florence and Carissa Moore. The easiest athlete to root for, however, might be Australia's Owen Wright. The Aussie was a title contender during the inaugural World Surf League season in 2015. But before the last event of the tour, he wiped out at Hawaii's Banzai Pipeline and suffered a serious brain injury that caused him to miss the entire 2016 season in recovery. After having to relearn how to walk, Wright returned in 2017 and won at Australia's Snapper Rocks. Now he'll go for the storybook ending at Sagusakai Beach as the sport makes its Olympic debut. Skateboarding. United States gymnastics boasted a fierce five. Brazilian skateboarding is about to introduce the Thrasher 3. I just coined that. Copyright SI Kids. I don't want to see it on the t-shirts. Raisa Leal on the right, first fist pumping. 13, Pamela Rosa, right holding flag. And 21 and Leticia Buffoni, 28, will compete against each other in the women's street event. Buffoni is favored to win, but a podium sweep for Brazil is possible. In men's street, American Nyjah Houston is a contender. He'll be challenged by Tokyo's hometown hero, Yuto Horigome. The other skateboarding event is Park, in which Finnish American phenom Lizzie Armatnanto will represent Finland. That makes us Americans sad, but we still wish her the best. Brazil. If bird watching is your thing, have we got a place for you? Brazil. The South American country is home to more than 1,800 species, not to mention 3,000 types of freshwater fish, and 50,000 trees and bushes, making Brazil the most biodiverse country in the world. Many of those species are found in the Amazon rainforest, 60% of which is located in Brazil. Continuing with Olympic preview, climbing. Like many kids, Janja Gonbrett spent a lot of time climbing on the furniture when she was younger. In her case, though, she made a career out of it. The 22-year-old from Slovenia is one of the top competitors in sport climbing, which is making its Olympic debut. Medals will be awarded to men and women in the combined event, which consists of three disciplines: speed, a quick sprint, bouldering, completing different routes up the wall in a set of time, and lead, climbing as high as possible in 6 minutes while attached by a rope. Garnbrett, a six-time world champ, is the best woman in the world at lead and bouldering. If she does well enough in speed, she could become the inaugural women's gold medalist. Canoe. When you grow up on a small island country in the middle of the ocean, there's a pretty good chance you'll wind up being comfortable on the water. Perhaps that explains why 9 of the 10 gold medals New Zealand has won in the last two Olympics have been in canoe, rowing, or sailing. Lisa Carrington has won 2 of those golds. The first came in London in 2012 in the 200-meter K1 canoe sprint. The K means she was in a kayak as opposed to C for canoe. The 1 tells how many people were in the boat. The easiest way to tell the difference between a canoe and a kayak is that in a canoe, the paddler kneels. In a kayak, they sit. Carrington hasn't lost a race in that event in nearly a decade, making her one of the strongest favorites in Tokyo. Track and field. Guiding light. To say that Paralympian David Brown and Jerome Avery have a strong bond is an understatement. Brown, a near right, was born with Kawasaki disease, which led to glaucoma and, at age 13, blindness. When the 28-year-old competes in the 100 meters, he is bound to Avery, far right, his guide, by a small tether worn around their wrist. With Avery at his side, Brown won gold in the 2016 Paralympic Games, and he holds the world record for the fastest 100 meters by a totally blind runner, 10.9 seconds. Brown, who plays the drums, piano, and saxophone, will go to Tokyo with a chip on his shoulder. At the 19 Worlds, he was knocked out in the semifinals. Table tennis. China may be more dominant in table tennis than any country in any sport. Take their women's team, for example. The reigning gold medalist from Rio 2016, Ding Ning, didn't even make the squad. Each country gets two spots, and she's the fourth-ranked player in China behind Chen Meng and Sun Yingsha, the number ones and two players in the world. Respectively, the silver medalist from Rio, Li Exadia, is retired. Don't expect another country to top the men's podium either. Ma Long, a.k.a. the Dragon, is the Wayne Gretzky of table tennis. This year, a mixed doubles event has been added. That probably just means that China will be sweeping five gold medals instead of the usual four. Rugby. The sport you likely think of as rugby is actually rugby union, a form that features 15 players on each side. The Olympic version of the game is called rugby sevens, with just 14 total players on the same 7,000 square meter field. All that extra space favors quicker players, and few are faster than Fiji's captain, Jerry Tuwai. His squad doesn't mind the smaller teams. Tuwai learned the game 3-on-3 on the gravel roads of Suva, Fiji's capital. He's a big reason Fiji is the reigning men's champion from Rio 2016. On the women's side, expect a battle from neighboring powerhouses New Zealand and Australia. Fiji. Fiji isn't an island. Rather, the country is made up of 332 islands, about 110 of which are inhabited. That doesn't leave a whole lot of room for things like golf courses and tennis courts, so the most popular sports tend to be team activities like rugby. There are only 6 golf courses in the entire country, but that didn't stop Vijay Singh from learning the game and winning 3 major championships. Artistic swimming. If you plan on watching the artistic swimming competition, get used to seeing the feet of Svetlana Romashina a lot. She'll spend much of her time in Tokyo upside down underwater and making history. The Russian owns 5 gold medals, tied for the most ever in the sport, and is the favorite in both events, team and duet. In the latter, she'll have a different partner from the 2012 and 2016 games, Svetlana Koleshnichenko, who is no slouch either. She won a team gold 5 years ago when the pair won 2 gold medals at the 2019 World Championships. The duet with the best shot at toppling them is Huang Guoxian and Sun Wayan of China, while Ukraine will provide a challenge in the team competition. Continuing with Olympic preview, 3-on-3 basketball. The United States, which historically dominates basketball at the Olympics, made waves when it failed to qualify for the men's 3-on-3 hoops competition. Just as surprising, though, is who made it on the women's side, Mongolia. It's the first time the country has ever qualified for a team Olympic event. Mongolia might not come to mind when thinking of world basketball powers. Its 5-on-5 men's and women's teams are each tied for last in the FIBA world rankings, but the country goes crazy for the 3-on-3 version. There's even a TV channel dedicated to showing games. Other teams tend to look at us as underdogs and don't really take us seriously, Kulan Onabatar of the women's team told FIBA's website. I think that actually made us stronger and sharpened our focus. To find the odds is a fantastic feeling. Mongolia. Want to see Mongolia? There's plenty of room. The Central Asian country has a population of around 3 million spread out over a space that's more than twice the size of Texas, giving Mongolia one of the lowest population densities in the world. Many of the country's inhabitants live in jeers, which are portable, tent-like structures, some of which have solar panels and satellite TV dishes. Swimming. Jessica Long. Jessica Long was 13 months old when her parents adopted her from a Russian orphanage. Soon afterwards, she had to have her legs amputated due to fibular hemimelia. From that point forward, she didn't let anyone tell her what she was or wasn't capable of doing. Long started off in gymnastics, but discovered a love of swimming at 10 years old. I was the only girl with no legs on the swim team. There were moments I struggled, but my teammates treated me like a friend. She defied all odds when she qualified at 12 years old for the 2004 Paralympics in Athens. After four games, Long has won 13 gold, 6 silver, and 4 bronze medals. As she prepares to compete in Tokyo, she continues to be a role model for all children. Judo. Japan has historically dominated judo at the Summer Games. Since the sport debuted at the original Tokyo Olympics in 1964, Japan has won nearly twice as many total medals, 84, and more gold medals, 39, than the next best country, France, in both cases. It makes sense. Judo began in Japan. The first dojo, started in 1882, was in a Buddhist temple in Tokyo's Taito Ward. Expect the host nation to add to that impressive medal count. 2016 lightweight champion Shohei Ono is favored to repeat. Former half-lightweight world champ Hifumi Abai and his sister Uta are also strong medal contenders for Japan. Softball. They're back! In 2005, the International Olympic Committee voted to drop softball after the 2008 Games, largely because the United States was so dominant. Funny, then, that the United States didn't win gold at the last games, as Japan pulled off an upset in the championship game. The losing pitcher in that game, Kat Osterman, retired in 2015. 10 years later, the IOC brought softball back, and Osterman wasted little time unretiring. The 38-year-old has shown little sign of rust. Through her first 6 appearances for the national team in 2021, she didn't give up an earned run in 26 and two-thirds innings. Welcome back. BMX racing. Located in the Andes, Colombia features high altitudes and steep roads, perfect conditions for developing road racers like 2019 Tour de France champion Egan Bernal. But the country has turned out some cyclists who go really fast in a really short period of time, most notably Mariana Pajon. The 5'2" native of Medellin dreamed of Olympic glory as a kid, but as a gymnast. She eventually followed in the footsteps of her father and brother, who are both BMX racers. Pajon won gold in 2012 and 2016, giving her 40% of the gold medals in Colombia's history. She's not the only one with a chance to add to her homeland's haul. Carlos Ramirez is a medal contender in the men's event. From Zeus to Jupiter. The more things change at the games, the more things stay the same. Here's to 3 more centuries. 776 BCE Olympia. Just a mere 2,797 years ago, the first Olympics took place in southern Greece. The site of the games, Olympia, combined temple and stadium structures. In fact, the word stadium comes from an ancient Greek unit of length. Athletes competed to honor Zeus. While most of the events from this era have not endured, wrestling and foot races have. One thing that definitely changed, the lack of clothing. 2021 CE Tokyo. With the benefit of hindsight, it's apparent what has become timeless in the Olympics, the spirit of competition, the value of sportsmanship. What from this modern era, however, will one day look at as dated as the naked sprinters of the ancient games to now? We're guessing the opening ceremonies. Once hologram technology really takes off, light show will take on a whole new meaning. 2016 CE, New York. The line between better equipment and mechanical doping is always being blurred. Technology doesn't have to make a sport easier to make it look cooler, though. After all, the Olympics are a spectator event. The neural implants can convince triathletes and fans that they're running through the jungle, bike along the rim of a volcano, and swimming through Atlantis. Bring it on! 12 NCE, Andromeda Galaxy. Of course, the Trampolites are going to sweep the podium in boxing. They've got 4 arms, and sure, it's going to be a long time before a human qualifies in Trowillian Starball. The games, however, have always been about bringing disparate cultures together. The original Olympics only featured Greek men who worshipped Zeus. At least we think that's mostly right. Ancient history is a little fuzzy at this point. Hall of Cool, Class of 2021. Last summer, we introduced you to our Hall of Cool, a place where we enshrine what we love about sports, including Megan Rapinoe, James Harden's beard, and the T-shirt cannon. Allow us to present our second class of inductees. Michael Jordan, his earnest. We like Mike. Was there anything that Michael Jordan couldn't do? He led the Bulls to 6 NBA championships. He threw down some of the most iconic dunks in history. He followed his dream and spent a season playing minor league baseball. He even helped the Looney Tunes defeat a team of aliens in Space Jam. MJ's tongue-wagging, high-flying play helped make the NBA what it is today, an incredibly popular star-powered league. And he was on the first ever cover of Sports Illustrated Kids. All in all, we'd say that's pretty cool. Inside the park, home runs. Batter takes a huge swing at a pitch and crushes it over the fence. Home run. Yay. More like yawn. When a hitter knocks one out of the park, he jogs leisurely around the bases. It happens all the time. What doesn't happen nearly as often is the most exciting play in baseball, the inside the park home run. A batter has to be going top speed all the way around the bases, and the farther he advances, the more anticipation builds and builds for fans. Bonus points if there's a close play at the plate. Nachos. Declaring which ballpark food deserved to be the first inducted was tricky. It's hard to top a classic like the hot dog, and there are plenty of over-the-top snacks out there, toasted grasshoppers. But we went with something that has origins in sports, nachos. They're fancy now, but back in the 1970s, they were a basic dish. Chips, melted cheesy sauce, and peppers, sold at Texas Rangers and Dallas Cowboys games. Then a Monday night football announcer mentioned them, and soon the simple snack was on its way to becoming a ballpark staple. Yaromir Jagr. Asked whether Ricky Henderson belonged in Cooperstown, Bill James said if you could split him in two, you'd have two Hall of Famers. Yaromir Jagr could split into three Hall of Famers. Currently in his fifth decade playing professional hockey, the 49-year-old Czech winger has been a trendsetter on everything from mullets to midnight workouts. In 2015 and 16, Jagr led the Panthers with 66 points while playing with center Alexander Barkov, who was born just before Jagr's sixth NHL season began. That's cool. Becky Hammon. On December 30th, 2020, history was made when Spurs coach Greg Popovich got thrown out of a game. That's not the historic part. Pop gets tossed all the time. But when, as he left, he turned the reins over to assistant Becky Hammon, making her the first woman to be the acting head coach in league history. The former WNBA star is more than just an inspiration barrier breaker. She's one of the best basketball minds around. As future Hall of Famer Pau Gasol put it, Becky Hammon can coach NBA basketball, period. Throwback jerseys. A jersey from a defunct team can say many things about a person, all of them good. Maybe they're a fan who refused to move on what their team packed up and left a true diehard holding a ceaseless vigil until that franchise returns. Or maybe they're a time traveler, come to see what has become of their favorite sport. Whatever the case, the throwback uni has undeniable street cred. It signals knowledge of the sport and a nostalgia for an era of simpler design, bolder colors, and fewer calls from the ref. The last time I saw Durant play in Seattle, I wore this. Whether on the ice or the pitch, defending the Nets requires the right training, equipment, and experience, or in the case of these emergency goalies, incredible determination. In case of emergency, showing the variety of goalkeepers here. David Ayers, Carolina Hurricanes. Every detail of this 42-year-old's debut seemed straight out of a movie script. Both Hurricanes goalies got hurt mid-game, meaning Ayers had to get ready in a hurry. He wore a Toronto blue helmet and pads with his red jersey as the face off against his hometown team. He let in goals on the first two shots he faced in the second period, suggesting an impending disaster. Then Ayers emerged from the dressing room and returned in a perfect 20 minutes, making eight saves and becoming the first emergency goaltender to record a win in NHL history. The only thing unsurprising about Ayers' story is that a Disney film adaptation really is in the works. Number two, Scott Foster, Chicago Blackhawks. Ayers might have an undefeated record, but Foster boasts a one-point save percentage. Like most emergency goalies, Foster is a local amateur the team invites to their games just in case. The Blackhawks had a four-goal lead on the Jets in 2018 when Foster entered the game in the third period. But like a great closer in baseball, he didn't need the cushion. Number three, Mia Hamm. She's arguably the most famous forward in the history of women's soccer, which makes it hard to imagine Hamm in net. With the United States leading Denmark 2-0 in a 1995 World Cup group stage match, Brianna Scurry picked up a controversial red card for stepping outside the box on a clear. Hamm grabbed some gloves in a spot in goal, only to be greeted with 8 minutes of stoppage time. Hamm made two saves, however, and preserved the clean sheet. Lester Patrick, New York Rangers. Before backups, teams would sub in any nearby netminder. But when Ranger Lauren Chabot took a puck to the eye in the 1928 Stanley Cup Finals, the Montreal Maroons refused to let their opponent use any of the pro goalies in attendance. So New York's 44-year-old coach Lester Patrick suited up and told his players, "Boys, don't let an old man down." They didn't, winning the game and the series. And finally, number five, Cosmin Mauti, Ludogorets Razgrad. After 120 minutes of a 1-1 tie against Romania's FCSB Bulgarian team, Ludogorets saw its goalie, Vladislav Stoyanov, get sent off. Out of subs, the side was moments away from penalty kicks with no keeper. At stake, only his berth in the UEFA Champions League. Defender Cosmin Mauti scored in Ludogorets' first kick and then, with no other choice, hopped in net. When the shootout went to sudden death, he made the save that punched his ticket to the Champions League. We've run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated for Kids. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm John Ivey, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sports Illustrated for Kids is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. The number again is 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. Yeah.